It's coming to Buda and Bastrop and Lockhart and Kyle and San Marcos.
Everyone says aerospace is coming to Austin. Is that true? Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. Today, I'm excited to be in Buda, Texas, and talking to my friend Jennifer Storm and Monica Davidson around everything Buda. And it's unique because Jennifer represents the EDC. Monica, you represent the Chamber and City Council. And so I'm excited to sit down and have this conversation. Jennifer, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. Hi. Yeah, thanks for coming and learning more about Buda. We're glad to have you here. I am the CEO of the Buda Economic Development Corporation. I've been in that role almost 4 years.
And I'm Monica Davidson. Yeah, a city council member, finishing up my second term. I'm also the CEO of the Greater Buda Chamber of Commerce. And I'm excited to be here. And I'm excited that we're saying Buda correctly for all of the nation to hear.
And What do you hear it as otherwise? Like, how do people normally say it if it's not
Buda? Buda.
Oh, man. See, when we did the logo that you see here, we put the line over the U to try to help people understand how to spell it right or say it right, even though it's spelled pretty clearly. And you'd be real surprised the things that people say. My signature line says beautiful with B-U-D-A as the beautiful. Mm-hmm. And still, yeah, people say Buda. Mostly it's Buda. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you saying Buda.
Buda is one of my favorites because I spent a lot of time in Buda. I went to school in San Marcos, so I got to know that segment of I-35 mm-hmm. really well. But in my professional life, Buda continues to come up. And really, it's coming from an entrepreneurial standpoint. And Jennifer, you and I have talked a lot about Buda and the Hive there, because you've put a lot of effort in the Economic Development Corporation's put a lot of effort into really building that Hive community, which is early entrepreneurs.
Well, part of that is because of you and because of the time you spent with us, myself and a former colleague of mine. We came over to Bernie and spent some time with you a while back and asked a lot of questions and learned a lot of lessons from you that helped us start here on the right foot. And I'm really proud of the work that we've done and that our team's done. We just finished cohort number 4 in just at a year. 60 people have gone through that incubator program in 1 year. But big thanks to you for opening the doors and welcoming us and showing us all that you've learned. And we put it to work here.
That's incredible. And it's not just the early startups. You have a large number of active projects. And every time I see the announcements, it's exciting projects that I would say, oh, that's going to Austin or that's going to Round Rock or Pflugerville. But no, it's coming to Buda. And I'm really excited to see the technology companies and the big industry jobs coming to Buda.
Yeah, so are we. My call right before this was with an aerospace and defense company that said, you know, people are saying aerospace and defense is coming to Austin, but that's not true. It's coming to Buda and Bastrop and Lockhart and Kyle and San Marcos. And I said, yeah, right. You've got it. You've got it figured out. And he said, so I really want to learn more about Buda and what you guys can do for us. And he asked me about demographics and what the workforce looked like. And I said, look, I'm going to be real honest with you. It's been 7 months that we've had an aerospace and defense cluster. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a lot of, you know, ESRI data around a 7 month cluster. But in the last 7 months, what has happened here is kind of phenomenal around aerospace and defense.
And what is it that's attracting people? Is it the green field to build in, or is it a community? Are you incentivizing them to come? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So most don't want greenfield. Most want available space now, and they actually need smaller space. So some of the space that's available in larger communities is larger space, and they won't demise to the size that a startup needs. So we have a couple of projects here that will do 10,000 or 20,000 feet, and that's the perfect size for some of these startups. We have incentivized some of them, and it is already paid off multiple times. Most of those incentives are around jobs and high paying jobs. Those are paid after they bring the jobs. So it's a pretty low risk investment for us that if they do what they say they're going to do, we pay the bill at the end of the year.
I like that statement because so many people shy away from incentive and they want to say, oh, it's taxpayer money and we don't want to do that. But it's also taxpayer opportunity. If you bring those jobs, I talk a lot about we export talent from communities like Buda because the jobs aren't there. But you've got some real exciting aerospace and defense is a great segment of the industry that's growing rapidly in Texas.
Yeah, I think it's a little naive of us to think that the fact that our entire community has commuted into Austin for really generations, but now Austin won't commute to Buda for jobs. It's the same distance. In fact, the traffic's a little bit easier mm-hmm. to come the opposite flow of traffic. So when you asked why, well, the workforce is the same. Rent's a little bit cheaper. The access to San Antonio is definitely a benefit for us to be on the south side of Austin. We really kind of keep a toe in each market. But yeah, I mean, we're kind of the best of both worlds. We're first community just south of Austin.
Mm-hmm. And that's been recognized nationally. And Jennifer, you won a national award through the International Economic Development Corporation, IEDC. And what was that like? I think it was a surprise for you in DC recently.
It's terrible. It's awful. I still don't know what to say. It is unbelievable the things that Monica and my coworkers and people across town and colleagues did to make that happen on my behalf and for our community. It's still really hard for me to talk about, honestly, but the fact that I got to stand in the Library of Congress and say Buda multiple times is something that I was really grateful for, and it has given me a platform to talk about Buda that I didn't have before. So I'm thankful for that, but I do not like the spotlight, which is why when you said, hey, when do you want to talk to me? I said, I don't know, but can I bring my friend?
She's not good with surprises.
No.
Well, but I appreciate that you do, because I think it highlights what I think a big part of Buda's success is that collaborative spirit that I see it when I come into Buda and I walk your main street. You have shop owners helping shop owners. It's very communal. And Monica, you've been able to double the chamber in the last year. That's exciting.
It is exciting. 2 years, last Monday, I took over the chamber. And, you know, like anything, you're picking up the pieces from before, trying to figure out where you are. A lot of it was just backing up and saying, what is our mission? The Bernie Chamber, and I remember telling Jennifer, like, I'm headed to one of their luncheons. I've always admired what they've done over there, the programming. The people in the office, the staff there are incredibly warm and inviting, and they weren't gatekeepers. They shared a lot of advice with me coming into it, because even though I've been on city council and even though I was on EDC board before, I had not dabbled into the chamber world. I've been a business owner here in Buda. So I had these perspectives, but even for me to ask, well, what does a chamber do? What is the value anymore? Right. Made me stop and retool our mission and get it back out there and try to build the membership again. And I think it just took a little bit to get back to some of the founding members and let them know, like, you are seen, we're back on mission, let's do this. So it's been a great ride. It's been a really good 2 years.
Really, what? I mean, I don't think anybody else could have done what she did. I mean, the fact that she had, you know, a history here and connections here and the respect and connections that she already had to be able to step into that role really fast-tracked the success of that chamber. I'm not sure that whether you had a PhD in Chamber 101 or whatever you want to call it, I don't think you could do that without the background and experience that she had. Previous business owner in the community, so that, of course, helped. But respect, relationships, friendships, connections, all of that made a huge difference to step up and say, she has the keys now, let's give her a shot. And it made a big difference.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Well, help me understand, what is the mission of a chamber? Because I look at it and I think it's playing catch up a lot of times in a lot of communities that I speak with. They're still doing what they've been doing for a long time. And
yes,
the world's changing fast. Mm-hmm. And so I would take a step back and help me understand, what does a chamber of commerce do today?
Sure. And, you know, even for me, when I was a business owner, I had those questions of, I'm not really sure what y'all do or what my membership comes with or why do we have a chamber? So the big mission for us is support, resource, advocacy, networking. Really, it's connection. And I've been laughed at several times in the last couple of weeks because I keep saying Rolodex. There's a big Rolodex in here, and I know that's showing my age, but what I have found, it's the collaboration. You need something. They have something. How do I put you together? I know a guy, right?
Yeah.
In every situation, it's I know a guy or a gal that can do this or help you with this. So what I have found that the largest part of this is I want to be where business begins in Buda. So when you are here after Jennifer's gotten you here, now what? What do I do? Well, I want you to meet some people. Tell me what your goals are. Tell me what your needs are. Tell me what your mission is. And let's start collaborating. Let's get you in with people that can help you support that. So I see it as a tremendous amount of connection and collaboration. And it's information as well, because of my city council hat. You know, hey, Monica, I'm having trouble getting my CO, or I wanted to add an additional sidewalk or whatever. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to ask. Or they're telling me things I'm not quite sure. So I'm also that advocate for businesses here, not just small. Really, truly, it's about the relationship and the collaboration. Just call me. I will figure out the answer and guide you where you need to go.
Which is a wonderful gift, because there's no playbook on how to work with a city. And every city is unique. If you've done it in one, it's going to be different in another. And then you have a unique city, because looking at the map behind you, you have an interstate that goes right through the middle of your city, and you have a train track that goes right through the middle of your city. Yeah. And that gives you some really interesting dynamics that could become silos, probably have in the past. But bringing them together and collaborating around those challenges, as a city councilwoman and as a chamber president, is probably a big part of the task, if I had to guess.
It is. And I think oftentimes when I talked about, you know, voter education, citizen education of what these three do, and I know it's structured differently in other cities. We are all different organizations standalone, but there is a trifecta that we have worked really hard to, wouldn't say perfect, but the spirit of collaboration, really being able to have conversations with each other, because that's what the community then sees. What you're seeing now is everything we've done behind the scenes to get to this point. And that's where I think, as far as education and some of the decisions that are made, why city council makes a certain decision, why EDC is going after, you know, certain industries that then trickles down to our existing businesses and our existing community members. What does that mean for them? Well, I'd love to give you that information.
And that education is so important, because voter turnout is what drives the city. When it comes to Jennifer and your projects, getting abatements, getting incentive, that isn't always a popular discussion in Central Texas.
Right.
But if you can say, here's the ROI, here's the return on that investment. And then I always like, here's how we're going to keep kids in the community. Here's how we're going to keep the next generation of Buda here. And I see that really coming to fruition in the work that you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. We never do abatements. We will only do rebates. So our risk is, you know, if they don't perform, we don't pay. You know,
right.
So that seems less risky for us that way. But yeah, I mean, I tell folks we were established to do one thing, and that was create economic prosperity. If we don't invest those funds in that, what are we doing? We have to invest these funds. We have one job, and it's economic prosperity. And how we do that is incentives, programs, people to run those programs. That's a big part of what we do, but that's why we were created. If we weren't created to be an investment account and sit on dollars, I mean, that is not how you create economic prosperity in your community. It's how you create a healthy fund balance. That's not why we were created.
Right.
Do you lose some?
Yeah,
you might lose some, but how many do you win in the process, you know?
Well, and that's the exciting part, because I think you're tenacity towards those projects has really been the benefit for the community. If I look around and see how much has come in just on Main Street. Your Main Street has really revitalized in the last decade that I can think of. And we can go back two decades and it was pretty quiet. But in the last decade, it's gone through this renaissance that's exciting to see.
It's a great word.
There's more coming. Yeah. There's more coming. If you haven't been by lately, we brought back the 1884 train depot that's under construction right now. And the EDC will be operating a retail incubator in that space. That'll be on Main Street. That's super exciting. We're really happy to have that opportunity again.
What is a retail incubator? That sounds like a great opportunity for somebody.
Well, part of what has come out of the Hive incubator is that because we went at it in industry agnostic, right? So we have salon owners, we have AI app companies, we have drone companies, things that I can't even describe. We have everybody in between. One of the things was there's lots of folks with retail ideas, but there's no place for them to go. Mm-hmm. Right. So once they go through the Hive and they test their business model and they write their business plan, this would be a place for them to go to test their product. So there'd be sort of two versions of crawl and run. So they could put their widget in our store, or they could rent the space themselves and operate it themselves, all of which has a timeline on it. So you either fly or fail fast, and you're here for a certain amount of time, you prove it up, and then you move on to full market rate space that's being built across town, but with a stronger foundation and hopefully a following and a better understanding of what it takes to run a successful retail business. Those without incubator support fail at a rate almost double that of those with support. So we're hoping that by giving them that support, they will have a better success rate when they move into the new retail space across town. Plus, it adds more retail on downtown, which we are 100% full. So there's no new spaces available for other businesses. Right. You have to wait for somebody to leave to have a space. So that will keep some excitement on the north end of Main Street with the turnover of that space. We haven't yet decided exactly. It'll probably be 18 months to 2 years. We're still kind of working through those details, but hope to have that kicked off by the new year.
Well, I like what you said there, and the main point that jumped out is that early audience building is hard. Yeah. If you're a startup, especially retail, you have to have an audience that will come buy from you, come in and see your store, see your space. And if you can't get the audience buy-in early, man, it'd be nice to not be paying rent and overhead while you're trying to develop that.
That's right. If you cannot get an audience in a renovated 1884 building on Buda's Main Street, there is no way you can do it, paying, you know, four blocks over, you know, and paying full market rate. So we'd rather you fail on our watch and not fail, you know, on yours.
Fail forward, not digging yourself an entrepreneurial hole.
Right.
I see a lot of people do that. And it's nice when the community has tools and resources to take advantage of.
Well, we were actually talking about this as a KPI of, you know, we've been counting how many businesses are started through the incubator, but we started thinking how many weren't started, because that's actually a positive. Yes. That's actually a positive of the incubator as well. As we've had a couple that were planning to make, mm-hmm. you know, big extravagant launches and sign bottom lines of multi, you know, year commitments that went through the process and worked the numbers and did the test market and all the background information, only to find out, you know what, maybe now's not the right time for this. Yeah. And, you know, that's a win too.
In the incubator space, I am certain that I've used the line, I'd rather see you fail fast than go out and sign up for 10 years of debt and impact your family in ways that you couldn't imagine. Mm-hmm. But with the incubator, you have an opportunity to come in and take off those rose-colored glasses and really look at the reality of your business, the reality of your market, because it might be a fit. It just might not be a fit in Buda.
Right.
And it'd be great to learn that before making big retail commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Monica, on the chamber side, doubling the chamber membership, what does that look like? Is it a lot of small business? Is it enterprise business? Is it everything in between?
It runs all of it. My biggest goal was a phased approach of let's go get back the ones that were already here and we just lost, low-hanging fruit. those are the folks that we can talk to. I know them. Tell me why. And it was also relational because I could tell them, I understand. I also didn't renew my business for a while. And I think to Jennifer's point earlier about that trust of, oh, she's even willing to admit we weren't in our prime back then. And so doubling back, picking them back up, but then also now in a new phase of, okay, U.S. Foods, who do I talk to over here? You know, you have the largest footprint here now that they're doubling down. What's your civic duty like here in this community? So while we can do quite a bit for the small businesses, yeah, for a U.S. Foods or a Texas Lehigh or a Jardine's, it is hard. They don't need me to do much. But I'll tell you, they have reached out for advocacy and support when they need to double down or, you know, there's things that are changing in the legislature that then make, we have to make changes as a city that affect them. It's been a wild ride because I feel like sometimes, gosh, there's so many more. And I rebranded to the Greater Buda Chamber because I have visions of world domination.
Wow.
But
you're not supposed to say it out loud.
You know, Jennifer's point that it's easier to come south. So we have picked up several South Austin businesses. They see it. They're hearing it. You know, San Marcos coming in, but also just, you mentioned it earlier, they're looking at Lockhart. They're looking at Luling. They're looking at Mustang Ridge. And those are businesses that are just kind of hanging out there. So I want to bring in that umbrella and really grow our system again.
There was a point in time that we were not sure the chamber was going to make it. And it was really important to me from the EDC side that, you know, really, I almost saw it as kind of an extension of our BRE program, right? That we help bring them here. We help grow them. We've got a really strong BRE program and a great leader of that program in Jackie, who's also a lifetime resident here of Buda. But there needed to be that networking component. There needed to be that chamber piece beyond what we could offer. And so for us to focus and champion the chamber kind of coming back and having a renaissance, I think was really important to say this is also important to the business community in a different sort of way. That though we would also say we're business advocates, right? Mm-hmm. But we do kind of a different angle to that. And so all of us kind of rowing in the same direction, I think made a big difference.
For sure.
I have to think those large enterprises, U.S. Foods as an example, also look at talent acquisition and come to you both for, hey, we have workforce needs, or hey, can you help us understand what workforce offerings, opportunities there are? And that's a part of the business that I don't think a lot of people see. It's not something you post about publicly, but there is always movement in the workforce that both of you are seeing, responding to, advocating for, to ensure that Buda knows they have jobs in Buda now.
Yeah. That's a personal goal of mine, is that everyone in Buda who wants to work in Buda has the opportunity to do so. If you want to work in downtown Austin, if you love being in the capital, you know, go for it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, we'll have an opportunity here for you and your children and hopefully your grandchildren. So everybody that wants to stay here can. And so that kind of helps with traffic too, you know, and all of those other things. The more we can keep people in our community, the better.
Yeah, we work very closely with the Hayes CISD, the school district here, and their extremely robust career and technical certification programs. There's 26 different ones that they offer. And I've had the personal experience of my firstborn, my senior, just graduated, and I've watched kind of this panic of, well, now what do I do now? What do I don't know. What do I do? And I started thinking, as I'm starting to fold more programming back into the chamber, you know, I kept getting hit with this leadership thing, and I'm not willing to share all of it right now, but I have this, again, there's that Rolodex of businesses, and then I have all of these students, this entire workforce about to graduate. They have no clue what our EDC brings in. Do they understand what logistics means? Do they understand what aerospace defense means, that the jobs are here? Mm-hmm. And finding their path to get to those jobs, because you already live here. Why not find a job here?
Yeah, that's part of what's different. we've done a good job. The royal we have done a good job convincing the next generation that they don't have to go to college to have a good career, but we have not made that path easy. The easy path was graduate high school, go to a four-year college, delay the next level of choices, right? So now if you graduate high school and you're choosing not to go to college, unless you've picked a trade pretty early on that has a very direct path, it's also not easy. And so there's a little bit of floundering happening that's not super comforting for parents and even the kids themselves. And so that is something that we would like to see some more support around, and even talking to our local businesses of, you know, giving them opportunities to see what opportunities they have in their businesses. So that's definitely something. We also host job fairs. Monica, are you right now, do you have the teacher externship?
Yes.
They also do a teacher externship in the summers.
Oh, that's really cool.
It is. It's through the Texas Workforce Commission. We are responsible for helping teachers get placed with the different businesses. So, for example, they have a CPA track at the high school. So their teacher needs to find a CPA or a bookkeeping firm that they need to serve a few hours with over the summer. Then that helps them kind of retool their curriculum. And also, hey, students, there's a lot of work in giving that encouragement of, here's a good opportunity and here are the jobs that are maybe not even in Buda, but that they start to understand what's actually happening in real life. So that externship program is amazing. We have 17 teachers this summer that are strategically placed through all these businesses. And they come to us because, again, we know for their audiovisual teacher, we don't know where to go for that. I do. I know a business that does that and will take your teacher as an extern.
Externships, internships, those are great opportunities in the work that you both do. Because I've gone in my career, I've gone to the EDC, I've gone to the chamber, said, hey, I'm looking for my next opportunity. And it's not on them to provide it. But it did create that environment for me where I could see what was going on and I could position for my next opportunity appropriately. And so I really enjoy hearing externship for teachers. What a unique idea. I haven't heard that one yet. And then internships are always something that I promoted within the incubator. And it's a great opportunity to connect these high school seniors, early workforce, to a business owner that has the need. They just don't know how to run an internship. And so putting a curriculum or putting a plan in front of them really does help both sides of that equation. We can't get out of the conversation without talking about Dachshunds, because every time I think of Buda, I think of wiener dogs.
I have my little wiener dog races last weekend in April.
It's funny you asked, and I'm glad you asked, because another thing that we all collaborate on, the city, EDC, and the chamber, is our Buda magazine. So we just put out our second edition, and that was the story that I wrote was, so what's with all the wiener dogs anyway? Because of your question, we had to write it up. And I think it was a good refresher for us. I mean, I know as a native here, but not everyone does, of why wiener dogs? Why Dachshunds?
Yeah.
Why is it? I'll have to go read the article.
I'll send you the digital link also to the article. But essentially, our Buda Lions Club was the one that created it. And it was an effort. It was in collaboration with their Hill Country Fair. And so they didn't want to just have a fair. They wanted to have an attraction. And one of their board members at the time had traveled somewhere in Georgia, and they had a small wiener dog race. So she brought it back and said, almost in the famous words of Jennifer, what if we had a wiener dog race? They looked at her like she'd lost her mind.
And this wasn't Jennifer, for the record. Right?
This was not me.
This was not Jennifer. Okay. This was in the 80s. And they said she was after it after. She said, it'll be fun. It's going to be great. It's so cute. And so they let her try it. And that has become the biggest attraction, the largest event that Buda hosts is our wiener dog races.
The Lions Club actually got the trademark for Wiener Dog Capital of Texas.
We are official.
You know, it takes all parties to bring people into a community. And that's a great example of some hard work and a lot of effort put into a big idea that, what, 40 years later,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're still celebrating it. I have to think that 40 years ago, they would have been laughing if we said this is the wiener dog capital of Texas.
They did. They laughed at her.
We're still laughing. It's really funny. It's pretty funny to, I watch the people, not the dogs. That's my favorite. Well,
so have you not come to one yet, Justin?
I haven't made it to one yet. I want to make it. It's always in that, it's a moving target in my life, but I want to come up and see the community events, because when I've come up, it's been really fun to see Buda, but I haven't been there for a big event weekend yet. I really appreciate the time today. The fact that you're both here together talking about these topics, and I know that behind the scenes, y'all are working on these topics day in and day out together. And for that, I really appreciate the way that you're building Texas.
Thank you for enjoying this episode of the Building Texas Show. We release a new episode every week, and you can find us across all social platforms. Please like and subscribe on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Thank you to our sponsor, Chisos Boots, and their damn comfortable cowboy boots.